We're working through the fruit of the Spirit, as some of you remember, week by week. And this week, the theme is, or the fruit is faithfulness. Now, there's a lot of them in there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. Now, I've got to tell you, when you think of these are not alpha male kinds of virtues. You understand that? And so it's what I call a high-value virtue, but a low currency. Like everybody wants to say, yeah, we want people to be gentle with us when we make a mistake, but it's quite different to say, like, I want to be a gentle person. That is not alpha male. And so as a result, we give it kind of like the Canadian dollar, little low currency. It's not something that we kind of want to embrace robustly for ourselves. I got to tell you something. It'll take a couple of minutes, but I got to tell you. This week, I had a conversation with a young single man who was in a group, and they had an exercise. It was a multinational group. There were four or five at least different nationalities represented, both young men, young women, all single. And the question they were given a sheet of paper with 20 virtues that they were looking for in their spouse when they get around to their partner's life, their husband or wife. It was very interesting. Unanimously, all the men, unanimously, with a list of 20, do you know what they chose to be the virtue that they wanted in their wife? Patience. And the young women, unanimously, without consultation, the virtue they wanted in their husband was faithfulness. Now, do you notice what was the topic last week? Patience was last week. And today it is faithfulness. How could that be a better sermon illustration? So the point I'm making, you know, it didn't sound, all these things don't sound like alpha male stuff, but I got to tell you, that was real stuff for those young men and young women. So it is something that we need to recognize, both out there in our society, but also for those of us who are followers of Jesus. The term this, or the virtue this week, is faithfulness. But all of these, you see, are under love as the primary virtue, because the fruit of the Spirit is in singular, and all the rest, including patience and trustworthiness and so on, are come under that. And they are also ethical virtue, I suppose, when we think of theological terms like sin, salvation, forgiveness, the atonement on the cross for our sins. All of those are theological matters in our relationship with God. But here, these mostly focus on our neighbor, the way we relate to one another. And so they are ethical in that sense. But you're going to see in a moment how God is very central to all of this. So, excuse me. And the other thing about when it's fruit, like one translation calls the harvest of the Spirit, so you don't get good fruit out of a bad root, right? So when you have, when you can talk about the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, a kind of a flourishing and a thriving of these virtues in our lives, they are actually coming from being grounded and rooted in a place that can actually make them grow and thrive. Said, that is one heck of a good orange. And it must have had some heck of good roots in order to produce the good orange. So that's why this is more than just, you know, thou shalt, you know, and, well, they, you know, go to church, they just kind of on your case, they tell you what to do and so. No, this is something that grows out of a relationship with God and grounded is, you know, the image in John's gospel, I am the vine, you are the branches, bear fruit. The word faithfulness. I mean, reliability, trustworthiness, all of those. But the best term for the biblical use of it would be loyalty. Now, this is so significant that on Remembrance Day, we are able to think of the ultimate sacrifice that young men and women gave in order for peace in the world and to protect our world from evil in that sense. Excuse me. But in the scriptures, there's a whole spectrum, and I'm just going to mention them to you around how trustworthiness relates to who we are. Well done, thou a good and faithful servant. If we are a servant, both in our lives and in our society, rather than dominating other people, that is faithful, God says. The good steward of the gospel, a good servant of the gospel. If you and I are faithful in our presentation of the gospel in some way, and as Paul said, that God considered him to be faithful in calling him. God's saying, I trust you, that you will be a faithful messenger of the gospel to the Gentiles. And it's even a word in terms of trust. This is the phrase in the New Testament is, this word is sure. And what it means, the word in Greek is trust, trustworthy or faithful. So this is the faithful word. When the gospel says that Christ came into the world to save sinners, that is a sure thing. That is a trust. You can depend upon that statement to be true and therefore faithful. Excuse me. And even in the book of Revelation, the one that is called faithful is sometimes the martyr, just as we think of our soldiers who died for our country and for peace. Antipas is mentioned as a faithful martyr. And then, however, it shifts not just to all these range of human experiences of faithfulness, but it actually points to Jesus also, the reference to him in the book of Revelation as being the faithful witness of God. And you say, oh no, he was like a robot. He didn't have to have any temptations. No, remember when after he was baptized, where did he go? Into the wilderness, and he arm wrestled with Satan in order to assure his own commitment to the messianic ministry to which God had called him. He was struggling, and he came out as a faithful servant. The book of Revelation calls him a faithful witness. Later on, it calls him faithful and true, that he was given that name in chapter 19. You remember also the night before he died, he struggled to be faithful to his Father's calling on him in this world. So even God, you see, not just us, depends on Jesus to be faithful to assure our salvation, but God was depending on Jesus to be faithful to bring about the salvation of the world according to the Father's plan. And then also God is considered to be faithful, and this is really very important for you and me. The Lord is good, Psalmist said. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. He doesn't give up. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of the Son. God does what he said he's going to do. God is faithful, and he will not let you, you know, be tempted. So many times when you get old enough, you know, you've had at least one hit at this, where you don't know how you're going to get through this crisis or this problem. It doesn't say that God's going to give you a golden path for you to walk with no struggles, but he says God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God is faithful to do that. You know that we often don't believe that. We cannot see how we're going to get through it, but he says, Paul says, God is faithful to see us through it. He's not going to walk out on us the last minute. And for the handful of sinners here, just a handful, I was telling the early service, I've been watching too much American elections. And so hyperbole, you know, I'm just getting used to that now. But if we confess our sins, John says, God is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You and I go around, we don't believe that God is faithful. That's part of our problem. We actually will do something and we will live and gnaw on that thing like gnawing off your knuckles because we don't think that God has forgiven us yet. God says, I'm faithful. And Paul goes on to say that even if we are faithless, and we don't trust in him, he says, God remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. A few things that God can't do. He can't lie. He can't be unfaithful. That's just as part of his nature. Now, let's get down to, as the old black woman says, we're going from preaching to meddling, all right? And now, when think about the ways that you and I are unfaithful. Okay? We all know this one, Pharisee. It's the outward appearance of being faithful, but the heart is different. And so the Pharisees were exhibit A for Jesus, because they went around praying with one eye open, making sure that people saw them. And so they pray on their side. But he says, do you know, he said, you're just like one of those burial rooms where they're whitewashed and they're clean and everything. But inside there are dead men's bones and rotting flesh. And that's the way you are. He said, you look good, you pray, and you look pious on the outside. But inside, he says, you are hypocrites and you're full of iniquity. Ooh, tough. Now, nobody here really is in that category, of course. But then the second thing is the words, the unkept promises, sometimes big, sometimes small. You might lie on your and cheat on your income tax, or you just might lie to somebody and say, yeah, that looks like a good dress, but doesn't look like anything that you might. But we make promises. And Jesus tells a parable. That a father with two sons, and he goes to son number one, and he said, well, I need you to work in the vineyard today. Will you do that? And he said, sure, Dad, I'll do that. Then he goes off and gets involved in his video games. Then the second son, he asked the second son, will you go and work in the field? And he says, well, no, so I really have some other things to do, and in fact, I've got a little cramp today. I don't want to go. But then father finds out later on, the guy got out of bed and went off and did the thing. And then Jesus asked, which one was the good son? It was the second one who did the will of the Father. That was the phrase. The one who said no, but went and did it, was the good son. So this idea of faithfulness is tied up with the promises that we make. Now we'll meddle a little bit. Now the thing is, there's this quality factor in our faithfulness. Things can look so good. It's what I would call, it didn't occur to me. You ever had that situation where you said, when you kind of got in a mess, and well, you know, I never thought of that. Or it didn't occur to me. Well, this is kind of not being thoughtful, not kind of working it through, and somehow not realizing what's going on. It's kind of superficial. I took a course years and years ago on marriage and family, and I remember the professors saying that there was a test or a questionnaire. They had men, husbands and wives, and they asked them about just to rate the quality of their relationship. The men, of course, came out very high. Wonderful relationship. They were up in the A category. But it's interesting, their wives came way down. B. And the professor asked, why such a discrepancy? Those men were just so happy. Things were going fine. The meal was cooked every dinner time and on all of this. The women saw that there was something in the quality of the relationship that was missing. Men didn't get it. It's like, well, it never occurred to me that you weren't happy with our relationship. But you see, that is a little flaw in the whole faithfulness story, isn't it? It didn't occur to me. This is not a religious one, but anybody know Irma Bombeck? Well, you would get to a certain point in our life. She was asked, at a certain point of her life and career, if you had anything to change, what would you change? And in your life, you look back, and she said, at first, I thought, nothing. I've had a really good life. And then she said, but there is. And it's this moment where you look back and you say, it never occurred to me. I never thought about that. But then all of a sudden, you begin to think, and here's what she says. If I had my life to live over again, I would have waxed less and listened more. I would never have insisted that the car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. I would have invited friends over to dinner, even if the carpet was stained and the sofa faded. I would have eaten popcorn in the good living room and worried less about the dirt when you lit the fireplace. I would have taken time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. I would have burnt the pink candle sculptured like a rose before it melted while being stored. I would have sat cross-legged on the lawn with my children and never worried about the grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less while watching television and more while watching real life. I would have eaten less cottage cheese and ate more ice cream. I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending the earth would go into a holding pattern if I weren't there for a day. I would have never have bought anything just because it was practical, wouldn't show soil, and was guaranteed to last a lifetime. When my children kissed me impetuously, or my child kissed me impetuously, I would never have said, later, now go wash up for dinner. There would have been more I love you, love yous, more I'm sorrys, more I'm listenings. But mostly, given another shot at life, I would seize every minute of it, look at it and really see it, try it on, live it, exhaust it. Never give that minute back until there was nothing left to it. Trustworthiness is like being a steward of your life and not saying, well, I just kind of wandered through and just kind of took it. Never did much about it, never thought about the implications. It's like going through a light, traffic light, while you're texting, and said, never occurred to me that there would be a car coming in those few seconds that I was texting a little note that it hit. The good news is, I think we got the point, but the good news is that even in our failures to be perfectly faithful, we are assured that there is one who is, and that's God. And Christians of all people are the ones that ought to believe that. He will be faithful because he can do no other. And God is the only one who can restore us, even when we have failed. God spoke through the prophet Hosea in the Old Testament. And seeing the faithlessness of the children of Israel to walk away from their God and worship Baal and all of that. But the word of the Lord comes to Hosea and says, tell my people this, I will heal their faithlessness. Even when you and I fail to be faithful to him, God says, I promise you, and my word is sure, I will heal your faithlessness. And I will love them freely. I will love you freely. Amen.